It is comfy.
I'm going to do the intro.
Yeah, you guys are good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dying to Talk. Episode 13 is here. Got a very special guest today. I'm very excited for you guys to meet her. Someone who I got to know, not all too super well, but a new friend here to Spencer, Kara, and myself. And pretty cool individual, I got to say. I'm excited for this episode. We got Ayanna Davis. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I can't complain. How was your weekend?
It was all right. Really chill. Yeah. Relaxed. Yeah.
Nothing too crazy going on?
No, nothing too crazy. Thank
Just
God.
Just chilling. All right. Yeah. All right. Cool. It's a beautiful Monday. Kara and I went to this horror film convention yesterday. Was it yesterday? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was interesting. We like the people watch.
You like horror?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, a crazy, hey, have you seen the 1962 version of this film? But, you know, I enjoy, I think what attracts me the most to horror is, the character designs of things and just, the visual.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Colin, he lives and breathes horror. That's his whole wardrobe. Shout out to Colin. But do you like horror movies?
It depends, because you know you have anxiety for the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes it delivers and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So,
well, the one thing when I started working in film, horror movies instantly are not terrifying to me anymore. I'm just like, oh well, I know how that was made, or mm-hmm. but it's I can imagine there's probably a guy behind that door, just shh, quiet guys, we're rolling, you know. But every once in a while, I have a lot of dreams and nightmares, but sometimes it'll feel like, oh, I'll wake up the next day and I'll be like, I dreamt this. I seen this in a movie. I seen this already.
And I can make that.
I can make this. I'm not scared. But yeah, other than that, weekend was pretty good. Yeah, let's jump right into it. Are you ready for whose pants are these?
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, Ayanna. Opening segment. Whose pants are these?
Well, they're mine.
Obvious, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where'd you get them? They're really cool.
I think I got them from Fashion Nova.
Okay.
So, you know, you see those Instagram models wearing them, mm-hmm. and then they just make you want to buy them, even though you're not going to look like they look in them. But you're just like, well, I'm going to get them anyway. So I think that's where I got them from.
Okay. Right.
You know, when they have those free shipping sales, they get you there.
That's how they get you.
Yeah,
they
and then rope you want them. You're like, well, I have to get them because they ship for free, and then they give you free next day shipping. So you're like, well, now I really have to get them because you get free next day shipping. So.
And then they hit you with if you leave your email, you get 10% off on top of that.
But then they harass you because mm-hmm. if you put them in your cart and you don't buy them immediately, they email you or they text you and they're like, these are gonna sell out soon, you better get them. So
I don't shop in Fashion Nova clearly, but every once in a while I do the same thing. I'll be like, oh, what, spring sale? Well, I might as well. I'm here. The other day I was at work and a friend of mine sent me a link for fingerboards, the little skateboards, yo, they're having a warehouse sale, and I'm like, I don't need anything. And then I was looking at all the prices, I was like, all right, I guess I'll buy one thing. $60 later, I put my debit card information in, which I'm not going to share my debit card information. I'm not going to make that mistake twice. I'm just kidding.
Mine is all stored in my phone, so that's not
instant
good.
One click shop. Yeah. No.
It's terrible.
But you know what though? It puts the whole outfit together. I'm digging the pink.
Thank you.
It's very.
I try.
It's Barbie.
Yeah.
Was that the inspiration? Do you go? Because I know. Every time I see you, you're color coordinated out.
Yeah.
Do you have colors that you just cycle through? All right, it's Monday, I'm gonna do this color.
No. Sometimes I'll pick out what glasses I'm gonna wear, okay. and I'll go around that. Or sometimes I'm just like, okay, this is the color I want to feel like today. And since I'm a painter and an artist, everything is just color for me. So. Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't know you and I saw you walking down the street, I'd be like, she has to be some type of artist.
Yeah.
There's just no way she works a regular job.
I don't even care if I match. I'm just color.
Hell yeah. Me, on the other hand, wearing the old faithful, the Gap khakis. Gray. New color. I don't think I've ever worn these on this show.
Well, you know, my dad wouldn't know that because he's colorblind.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. can't see any color
he
at
can
all?
See shades, but uh-huh. he can't tell the difference between green and blue.
Damn.
And he had a pink laptop and didn't know it was pink.
Ooh. He probably...
You gotta chuckle.
He probably was like, oh, what? This laptop's on clearance? I can't imagine why.
For a long time, I didn't even ask him about it. I was just like, why does he have a pink laptop? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. He's colorblind.
That's so funny. I had a teacher in sixth grade, Mr. Buxton, and he was colorblind. And one day, he always color coordinated Jordan's shirt, watch, everything. One day, we were joking around, like, did something happen? Like, did you lose your clothes in a flood? He goes, why? He had, like, purple, orange, brown, green. And he was like, no, I'm colorblind. Like, I just didn't lay everything out or whatever. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't know that. I know dogs are colorblind, but then to learn that people, but colorblindness is different for each person too. Like, some people can't see certain color and some people can't see any colors at all. It's interesting. It is interesting. And that concludes Whose Pants Are These?
Okay.
All right, Ayan, are you ready for the toughest question of your life?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Westchester County, New York.
Okay. All right. Westchester. Where's Westchester?
It's about...
Oh, I know where Westchester is. Okay. That way.
Yeah.
You got to go across the little bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You went to school in Westchester?
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa, what was that?
I didn't really like it.
You didn't like school, like, at all?
No, not really. It sucked. I hated it.
Mm.
The only thing I liked was art class.
I could tell. Yeah, I was going to say, you must have liked art class.
I hated it, yeah.
Okay. All elementary school, middle school, high school, just couldn't stand it?
Couldn't stand it. I liked art class and photography class, and that was it.
Was it because, like, the kids, or was it just, like, I want to be drawing, why am I learning about the Louisiana Purchase?
I was undiagnosed autistic. Uh-huh. I wasn't diagnosed until I was an adult. So I had, like, I didn't have a lot of social skills, and I also had, you know, anxiety. I didn't know I had anxiety.
Gotcha.
So I struggled every single day. And I just wanted to be drawing all day.
Gotcha.
Why can't I just go to art class? I was in chorus. I can't sing though, but I was in chorus.
Okay.
We did plays. Why can't I just go do my plays?
Oh, yeah.
I did photography. Why can't I just go do photography? I never used none of that math. As long as I got my debit card and I could shop, I'm good with that.
That's it.
So it's just, I didn't like school.
Yeah. I feel you on that one for sure. Like, I like the social aspect of school the most. Could care less about what we're learning. Like, hey, guys, did you guys watch Regular Show last night? You know, but it's like the teacher would be like, Mike, pay attention to this. That'd be something I don't care about. Maybe I should have paid attention. I'd have a better job. I don't know. But so art class, that was right away off rip, you found art was your thing. Drawing, painting, what? Sculpting?
Almost
everything.
Everything. Okay. Drawing, painting. When I got to high school, my high school art teacher actually took me out of his art class because he said, I don't want to change your art style. So he put me in his photography class. So that's how I got into his photography class. But I had already sold art by the time I got to high school. Damn. Sold my first piece when I was 7 years old. My aunt was a painter. She took me to an art show.
Okay.
And she put a few of my pieces in the art show, and they sold. There was a woman there who was trying to get her to go down on the prices, and she was like, nope, this is the price. So she was like, okay.
Heckling at an art show?
Yes. Heckling a seven-year-old.
Hey, listen, lady, I'll give you $13 for the butterfly.
She was like, no, this is the price. And she was like, okay. And then she brought it. She bought two of them.
Okay. She probably felt bad. She was like, well, now I feel bad because I heckled. Mm-hmm. That's impressive. 7 years old.
Yes.
I know some fully adult artists who have done shows and have never sold a piece. So that's pretty cool. Where did, like... Now, obviously, when you're a little kid, I was the same way. My dad would make me, like, draw and, like, just whatever. But I never really took to it as much. Was there something specific that you saw, or you said your aunt was a painter? So mm-hmm. was it, like, come from a family inspiration? Like, how did you really get into art?
I've always drawn, like, even before I knew she was an artist, mm-hmm. I would draw. Like, my dad said he would go to meetings, and he'd open up his notes, and there'd be drawings all over his notes, and everybody would be laughing at him. So I feel like that was probably my first form of communication.
Gotcha.
Like, even when it was hard for me to communicate with words, I knew that I can sit down and paint a picture. I can sit down and draw a picture. So for me, it was always like the easiest way for me to communicate. So as far back as I can remember, it was always art, some gotcha. Form of art.
Okay.
Whether it was painting, drawing, dancing, theater, anything, that was always my go-to for everything.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I really liked art until I had a fourth grade art teacher that like screamed at me, and I never wanted, I like turned away. We were making like little clay pots for Mother's Day, and I didn't put enough glaze before it went in the kiln. My art didn't come out right, and she yelled at me for it. Miss Allen.
It wasn't for her, so why did exactly. she get so mad?
I was doing my own interpretation of a clay pot.
And you can't be wrong when you make art.
Mm-hmm. My father was a really good, like, he could draw. Like, he was I don't know what it's called, but, like, when you start, you know, like, when you draw things, you do, like, the shapes first, and then you fill it in with, like, the details. But he can draw anything. Like, we'd be watching, like, baseball games, and he'd just go, boom. That's and then cool. I try to copy that, and I get so mad because I couldn't do it. But then... I remember in second grade, me and Joe Reyes used to, like, draw our favorite superheroes and then cut them out because we weren't allowed to bring toys to school. So our way around it was drawing the toy and then cutting it out and having a little, like, paper guys. But then if the teacher caught us, she'd rip them up. So you followed on, you stayed with art all the way up till high school. Did you go to college?
I went for about 2 years, and then I had a dance program, okay. and they competed in amateur night at the Apollo.
Wow.
And they won. So I was like, well, I can't go to school because I stopped going to school because they were going back to compete. So I stopped going. So I only did one semester at Westchester Community College. And then I was like, well, I can't go back because my team is competing. So
you were dancing in the team?
I did dance the first week. I didn't dance the second week because I was just too busy running around and doing everything else. So,
I didn't even know this. See, like, and you sit in acting class, like, all shy and bashful, and you got this amazing story, a resume probably longer than all three of ours combined. Spencer can dance.
Really?
No. Oh. You can't. Not at all. I danced in Disney World. That's my claim to fame. My senior year, we got, like, through, the, like, some school program, we had to go down to Disney, and they needed three guys. So me, James Lopez, who was another guest last season, and this guy Mason, we were the only dudes. And James is a phenomenal dancer. Mason and I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to speak for you, bro, if you're out there, but I rolled my ankle really bad at a rehearsal, and Goofy was at a rehearsal, swear to God. And he came in character and wanted to watch us dance, and then I rolled my ankle, and this guy dropped character, like, in the Goofy helmet, and was like, dude, are you okay?
Wow.
And then went right back to me like, I was like, dude, you should be fired for that. You're not supposed to drop character. And that was my only claim to fame, was dancing in Disney World, Disney Springs.
No, my dancers, they did a lot. And they did so much that I can't really remember all the things that they did. They were on ABC Family. They were on the Disney Channel. They were on BET.
What was the name of the group?
The Stajets. That was one of the groups.
Okay.
Some of them were unnamed because they just did separate projects, and I was just their choreographer. They opened for, like, older, like, rap groups like Jadakiss and Fabulous. They opened for A. Marie. Who else did they open for? Can you help me over there? they danced on 106 and Park.
Oh, sick.
They met Sierra. They met... well, he's in trouble now, but they met Diddy.
Oh.
He didn't get close to them, though, good, so they all good. Safe. they've really done a lot.
Okay. All right. Wow. So you were doing that. What was, like, the year, like, your time frame of that? We're talking, like, 20 what?
About all of that stopped about 10 years ago.
Okay, 10 years ago. So yes. 2012?
Yes.
Oh, my God, 2014.
When I started doing my books again.
Gotcha. So what? Yeah, that's actually that was gonna be my next question. So, was it you? I know you sold your first piece at age 7.
Yes.
Mad props to you. When did you start illustrating?
Yes.
When did you start doing that for, like, books? I know you're drawing, but, like, when did that come about?
So I started illustrating around the time that I stopped dancing. Okay. So I didn't do both of them at the same time. Okay. And I, right off the bat, I did 10 books with an author. Didn't work out. I don't promote the Bulls books anymore, but I did 10 books with one author. And then from there, like, other authors just became interested in my work. And then I put 4 coloring books out on my own, with just my artwork in it. Most of the books that I illustrate, they're for, like, representation, inclusion, diversity. I draw a character with limb differences. I've made characters with vitiligo, albinism, and, you know, things of that nature. My latest book that I did, I'm Autistic and I'm Phenomenal. It's a book about a little black girl who's autistic, and it just, you know, shows the world how she views life and the things that she's going through. So I just got back into illustrating about a year ago after I didn't do it for almost 10 years.
Wow. I mean, looking at, because I looked at, you know, Instagram and the books you have on Amazon, you, if you told me it took a 10-year gap from illustrating, I would be like, there's no way.
Yeah, I really got back into it last July. I put 6 books out in 1 month.
Wow. What did I do last July? Kara's birthday was last July.
That's something to celebrate.
We did something last July. I don't remember what it was. Oh, we did we made a movie.
That's cool.
I'd rather write books, though. That's way, you know, drawing. I can't draw. I can kind of draw. Yeah. Growing up, did you have any favorite book series?
Not really. No. I was kind of like always in my own world. Okay. So, you know, like there's a lot of movies that like I never saw. And people were like, I can't believe you never saw that. I'm like, well, I was in like the dance world and the theater world. Yeah, yeah. So I wasn't really into like the TV world.
So more show like Broadway stuff is your thing?
We did like school plays and like high school plays, and then like, and I don't even remember the names of them, but I know this one play I played like this really evil witch. It was a Christmas play and I had to sing a song, and this, I don't know, my dad said some guy has the video, but I don't know who he is. But I was just always into like that type of thing, like the theater and the dance world. So I was never like home to be watching TV and watching TV shows. Like, so there are like classic movies and people are like, you never seen that? I'm like, yeah, I saw it like last year. They're like, but that came out 15 years ago. I'm like, I know, but 15 years ago I was dancing, 15 years ago I was doing 15 theater. 15 years ago
you were stunting on stage and drawing books. That's what you guys start saying. Like, I was busy 15 years ago. You got way too much time watching fucking movies.
Yeah, I never saw that shit. Sorry.
Yeah, she never seen that shit. Not sorry.
I'm not saying that shit is shit, but
no,
I just never saw that shit.
You're grinding. You're busy. You're hustling. Yeah. Doing all the books, all the dancing. I didn't know about the dancing. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I was a choreographer for a long time. Wow. But I can't do that stuff now. Like, maybe when I get back into shape, I'll be able to do
if
it.
If it took you 10 years to get back into drawing, 10 years, how long ago did you stop dancing?
I've been off and on for, like, a couple years.
It's never too late.
I got to lose some weight first.
Me too.
I'm going to stay on the topic, but I was in pain in rehearsal in class.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing little exercises we did. I was like, next, please, because I'm out of breath.
Can we sit down, please? Context for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about. Ayana, myself, and Spencer are all in the same acting class. She was also in the same acting class with me, Spencer, and Kara. Last time I was talking about acting. Context. That's all I'm going to say. Sign up if you want to know more. I don't know. What should I plug them? No, I'm just kidding.
No free advertising. Only paid advertisements.
Facts. So every major franchise in this studio, Mortal Kombat fans, Disney, or not Disney, Tony Hawk, I'm coming for you. You owe me a fucking check, buddy. Finding art, dance, performance, a culmination of all three. Did you find it difficult to balance all three of them at the same time, or you were just like going with whatever? Or it seems like you know what you're fucking doing by just telling me all the stuff that you do.
It wasn't hard because it was kind of all that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have no social skills.
Gotcha.
So it was just like, I knew how to draw, so I knew how to navigate the world that way. I did dance. I knew how to navigate the dance world. I did theater. I knew how to navigate that. So that was just, those were the things that I knew how to deal with, and I knew how to tolerate. Like, it's hard, small talk, I'm terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to me too long, I might pass out. Like, it's hard for me to keep a conversation going unless it's about art. You know, I talk about art all day, talk about dance all day, talk about acting all day, but just small talk and just normal life situations, things like that, I'm not good at. But navigating life through art it just comes naturally for me, because that's what I've always done. Like, I've always been in my own like art bubble. Like something that was difficult for me, I have my own day in Westchester County,
which was a holiday dedicated,
like,
to you?
Yeah, my own day. Like, oh, fuck. It just passed. It was
it happened already.
It was April 26th. Well, it's every year April 26th.
What's it called? Ayana Day.
Ayana Davis Day in Westchester County, New York.
Damn.
So I have a proclamation. So like
key when to they the city too or no Huh? You get the key to the city?
They don't give those in Westchester County. I don't know why. Maybe they're just not as cool as New York City. Like, I don't know. We'll
shut the traffic down for 20 minutes. You can walk around.
But we had like a ceremony, and they give you the ceremony. But when they did it for me, we had like, there was like a camera crew that followed me around for 2 months, and they did a documentary. Damn. So
where can we find the documentary? Because now I want to watch it.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you. It's on YouTube, but I don't know what it's called because it was so long ago, but I'll find it for you guys. Because somebody has a link. But so the camera crew followed me for 2 months with my dance program because I taught youth in underserved communities. So that's why I got my proclamation for my work with underserved youth. So, but the ceremony, it was just so hard for me to like get up and speak and say thank you. And that was like the hardest part. And I was like, I don't want this. I don't want to do this. And I got honored at the United Nations, and it was really hard for me to get up and say thank you there too. I almost passed out, and it was like,
sorry, half the people don't speak English at the United Nations. I know.
They was like, can you come up and say a few words? And I didn't want to say anything. And I was just like, I didn't want to say anything.
You know what? The next time you get invited to the UN, they'd be like, would you like to say something? You'd be like, nah, I'm good. They'd be like, that's fucking gangster. That's what you said at the UN.
I didn't want to say anything. At also, the leave me the fuck alone.
No, that's, you know what though? That's like, I respect that though. Cause that, you have your own holiday. You were honored at the United Nations, and you can't do small talk, but like you thrive with dance, theater, like all the cool shit. Like most normal people can't do, like people work like regular jobs and just talk about the weather, talk about the latest game, and then it's like conversation. I'll see.
Yeah, that's
week.
Why like when people come with like the autism jokes, I'm just like, don't play yourself, because there's a lot of things I will destroy you in. Yeah. So don't play yourself.
All right. Do you think you can beat Spencer in like I don't know, Spencer, are you good at anything?
He's good at a lot of things.
Like I mean, like, what? Something specific. Like, he's like,
you build a Lego set?
He's really good at building Legos.
Oh, no. That's too many pieces.
Well, what if it's, like, one of the small ones you get, like, the self-checkout line by, like, Target? Like, one of the little, like, I guess those aren't really
sets, though.
I think
I would lose my patience.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He has, like, this crazy room of Legos. Him and his brother.
Oh, and where were we at when you guys had a whole room made of,
Oh, no, that's our office, the Pokemon
stuff.
That
was really cool.
Yeah, that's our office. Well, the Pokemon room specifically is not our office. It's not there anymore. Now there's a new show. But that was our boy David Lionheart. He made all that.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Pokemon.
I think I took a small video of it, too. That was cool.
We have to charge you for that.
No, I'm keeping
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, with small talk, it's funny. I work, my day job, I work with, like, a lot of older people. And sometimes a small talk, or like sometimes a joke range, I'm like, where's the line? Because sometimes these guys say something really fucked up and really offensive, and then like I'll fire back and be like, yeah, me too, and they'll be like, whoa, that was too far, buddy. And then, or it's just like, see the game yesterday? No. Yeah, me neither. It's supposed to be nice Saturday. It's like, oh my, I want to, we were at, I forgot where we were, and somebody's, I'm not going to say who it was, they just kept talking to me about Taco Bell for like 20 minutes straight, and I was dying inside. Like, I love having conversations with people, you probably tell, because I never shut the fuck up, but I can only stretch a 20 minute conversation about Taco Bell so far.
I don't think, like, something like that, I don't know what I would do. I would probably walk away, which is extremely rude. Like, or I would like blow up, which is even worse. But those are like the only two options that I have in a situation like that, is to walk away or to lose my shit.
Or to lose your, yeah. Honestly, I applaud you for, I want to walk away so bad sometimes when I have these conversations, but I just, I can't do it. Because I wonder if, when I'm talking to people, if they want to, like you right now, do you want to explode by listening to me talk?
No.
We paid her to say that, by the way. Getting back, now, so now you're back illustrating.
Yes.
You're doing that. You're back into theater a little bit.
Yeah.
What are your, like, currently, what are you, like, navigating, doing? After your illustrious holiday, which, thank you for telling us, we would have easily went to Westchester County and partied. I'm kind of jealous.
Well, the holiday is every year, so right. I don't really make a big deal out of it anymore. But I'm enjoying class. I'm looking forward to working with you guys, see where this goes. I'm about to start another book with a new author. Well, actually, two new books with two authors. One of them, she's a really new author, so I'm kind of going to be guiding her on this journey. Mm. I'm looking forward to that because she's an amazing person. Because, you know, I've had horror stories where I've worked with, like, evil authors. And, you know, they're, like, screaming at you. And,
really?
Yeah. I don't like this. Do it this way. So.
Would you care to share? We don't have to, but.
No. That's really. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just work with people who they kind of don't respect you as an artist. Mm-hmm. Like, you can put your all into something and it's still not enough for them. But I'm just like, but you can't do it. You can't even draw a straight line. But, you know, there's a way to say everything. If you don't like it, I can do the revisions. You don't got to shit on what I did. I can do the revisions. So it's just like, now I'm very selective in who I work with. You know, it looks great on my resume that I did 10 books for somebody, but I'll never work with you again.
There you go. I mean, I've worked with tons of people that I would never work with again. But also, too, being able to, like, control that, be like, no, to get to be like that customer said the other day, it's like, oops, sorry, I only do high-end budget stuff or whatever. It's like being able to do your own thing at your discretion is the coolest thing in the world. And it seems like you got that down, like, pretty well. I mean, from listening to all these stories you're telling me, I'm jealous. And I'm like, damn, I need to get my shit together. This might be called the, like, dying to talk with Ayanna Davis.
No, but I've just always enjoyed it. Like, even with the theater, I only had one bad experience, and that was with, I was working with a theater group in Westchester County, and it was just this one assistant. He was one of the acting assistants. It was our first meeting. It was when we were doing The Wiz, and you know, the big dance scene at the end when Eveline, like, melts into the toilet. Okay, so I had to choreograph and teach all the kids that scene, and he was like, you're never gonna get them to do that scene like that. And they nailed it. It was perfect. I was like, eat shit. And it was just perfect. And
what did he have to say afterwards?
He didn't say anything. He couldn't even look. He couldn't even look at me. He couldn't even look at me.
Hell yeah.
He didn't even say good job, nothing. He couldn't even look at me. I was like, I was staring at him too. And I don't even do good eye contact. And I was like,
ooh. Hell yeah. That's, yo. Kara, who were you when you did The Wiz?
That statement alone.
Was it Cornwall that made you?
My high school. Did The Wiz.
It's like a 90% white high school, by the way.
It's a whole thing, and everyone who did it was really not proud of it. I was Eveline, actually.
You were Eveline? Yeah. Oh my gosh, she gets on my... Did they flush you down the toilet? Like, how did you guys do that part?
I walked down
steps okay.
as they did a, like, smoke. It was really embarrassing.
What?
That's hilarious. Like, it's like, how did they do the cool effect? It's like, I
walked down the stairs.
And they made me and the other girl share a costume.
So, like, how come you guys didn't do The Wizard of Oz?
Exactly, right? I don't understand.
That's what every single person in that cast said. And do you know how bad this was? And I don't mind sharing this because that director isn't there.
Yeah.
The only black kid he cast as a lead was the Tin Man, who was painted silver.
So they silver faced him.
I mean, it just would have made sense to do The Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Like,
we had this realization a while ago, and I don't understand where it comes from, but high school court, Spencer and I went to the same high school context. Kara didn't go to the same high school as us. Chorus teachers often have their predominantly white chorus sing, like, black slave songs.
Sorry.
No, like...
No, it's serious.
And like, always with, like, why are we singing? Like, they would be like, no, you have to say it like this. Like, this sounds really... Like, I went to Newburgh, so we weren't, like... It wasn't like Cornwall, where it was, like, mostly white. But Newburgh had, like, a good mix. But still, man, like... I don't get that. I don't understand. Like, why didn't they do The Wizard of... No, laugh. It is, like, really weird.
That is just so crazy.
How many times do you, like, All County or Nismo or whatever, it'd be, like, a song that's clearly, like,
always
not...
Always All County.
Yeah.
Always All County. I don't know what it was. It was really weird.
Never got that. I think... I don't know. It is.
We can sing anything else.
Yeah. What a fucking... People are weird, man. People are really interesting. Did you have a favorite song to sing in chorus?
No, I didn't. I just went there and sang off key and enjoyed the 40 minutes I was there and went to the next class.
That sounds a lot like somebody else I know. This guy right here.
But the thing is, I want to do voice acting too, but me I can't too. Sing. But
I need to sing to do voice acting. Do a commercial.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's the funny thing. But I just could not sing. But I had to sing in the plays. But I could sing when I was a little girl. But okay. I can't sing now at all.
It's never too late, Ayana. Yeah. It's never too late. 10-year hiatus from singing. I used to have a really good voice, and then I was trying to sing a song in the car after I dropped her home yesterday, and I was like, what happened to me? I used to be so good. I was never that good. But, yeah, I think I still got it. I think you still got it, too. Don't doubt yourself. You can do anything. You're phenomenal.
Thank you.
All the shit you're telling me is just like, what? It's like, how the fuck do you do all that stuff? It really is, I'm not just saying that just to blow smoke up your ass. Like, that is crazy.
Thank you.
To be able to do any of that stuff. I can't write a book. I can't draw for shit.
Thank you.
What do you, I know obviously your illustration is would you say your day job, but did you prefer performing over illustrating? They're both very different worlds.
excuse me.
No, you're good.
Since I taught for so long, because I felt like the kids needed something to do. The kids needed an outlet.
Mm.
But when I started to get back into the illustrating, I was like, well, I want to do something else. I want to, I still need something else creative.
Mm-hmm.
There was still an itch for something. So I was like, all right, well, let me take some acting classes. Let me take some theater classes. So, I do enjoy performing. Mm-hmm. I have a TV and film acting coach, and she's amazing. And she's really hard to be in scenes with. Because she just kills it every time. She's so intimidating. But I do enjoy performing. It's just another way to express myself.
Yeah.
Again, since I have problems with communication, that's just another way to escape into the character. So that really helps me out a lot with my social skills and things of that nature.
Yeah, no, this is an amazing episode already. I wouldn't even get there, right? But yeah, I especially with drawing and illustration, it is a very private, it's it's just you, the paper, the pen, whatever, and then theater is look at me. So yes. The fact that you can hang in both is amazing. I can't draw. I have no problem filling up a room with talking about Taco Bell stories all day or something, So that's great. Was there any, so no TV, you didn't watch movies or TV, so other than your aunt inspiring you to draw, there wasn't really anything that caught you. For me, I watched this one movie when I was a kid, and I was I want to be movie, I want to be a movie person.
I my grandma would watch TV, and mm-hmm. but I was never I want to grow up and be on the soap operas, nothing like that.
Gotcha.
It was just I think I just enjoyed the art.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's why I wanted to do it. It was never I want to be famous. It was, I just want to do the art.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to have a normal, boring day job at a desk? I don't. I would not be able to thrive in that environment at all.
I never saw myself doing anything other than art. I really never saw myself doing anything else.
And you stuck,
I never saw myself existing in the world doing anything else.
Damn. It's amazing. Because I'm sure anybody that's listening or the other two people in the room with us, it is very tough to stay on the path of being an artist, because there's so many factors that come in and deter. It could be financial. It could be, support system. It could be a whole myriad of things. Becoming an artist, you always had full family support by that? Or?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah,
gotcha.
Still.
Nice.
I don't know if you knew this. I paint and I customize clothing. I paint denim jackets and, I make little kids' clothing. So when I was really doing that actively, some weeks you get one order, some weeks you get 20 orders.
Yeah.
So it was just some weeks it's literally you're the struggling artist. Then the next week it's you have more orders than you can handle.
Yeah.
So it's always just but my dad's always okay, well, that's all right. Next week get more orders. Next week you do this. Next week you do that. When I was a few years ago, I had an agent for commercial and TV, but I ended up, you know, my health wasn't the greatest, so I asked to be released from my contract, but I was getting a lot of requests and a lot of callbacks. I don't think I booked anything, but I got a lot of callbacks and a lot of auditions, which is a win still.
Absolutely.
But I asked to be let go from my contract, but they said, you know, when you get better, we'll take you back, so yeah. I'm working to get there.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, he's always just like, an audition is a win, so he's always there with the full support for everything. When we came up here, I was looking for an acting class. He helped me. We found the class. Of course, you guys know he drops me off. He picks me up. So he's here today. So I've always had that support.
Hell yeah, that's amazing. I've met a lot of people that are still pursuing their creative passions, but they don't necessarily have the support, and it's definitely tough and rough. But it's amazing, and it's a beautiful thing. I think I have my family support some days, but I'm not exactly sure.
It's hard to be an adult artist because some people are like, get a real job.
Yeah.
And that's not a real job. And like, so it is hard because you do have people that will say things to you like that, or like, you're still working on that little project. It's not a little project. People's dreams aren't little things. They're real to them. So you know, you still have people that do that to you, and they say like, well, you're an adult now, do this, and you're not going to get it. You need to get a real job and do that. Like, so I don't think people understand, like, acting is work. You get up, you go to work, that's your job. You know, being an artist, illustrating a book, you're working for somebody. When you're doing it for somebody else, is a deadline. That's your job. That is work. So if you're not an artist, you don't really understand things like that.
Yeah. That's very well said. I always find it too with a lot of people that do say those things like, oh, get a real job, or are you still doing that? It's like, it never sounds like it's never positive when they say that. The way they're delivering it, it's never positive. But to me, I always pick up on, ooh, who told you that one, like, once?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the person that told you that?
Yeah.
And why are you telling me?
What was your dream that somebody shot down and you never ran back to pick it up?
Yeah. But, you know, again, too, like, some people could be very talented, but if they're not strong-minded to keep just trucking along, they can let other people's thought. It's happened to me a few times. I mean, my whole life trajectory, at least what I thought I would be doing, same deal. Like, I had people telling me no, that I couldn't do it. And then I didn't. I was like, all right, fine, I'll just go do this other thing. And then during the pandemic in college and sorting that whole experience out, I was like, oh no, like, I have to do what I wanted to do this whole time, because it is important to me. And it's like pretty much like the way you said it. It's, I'm an artist. The only person that's going to see my dream and what I want to do is me. And you should write a book. What was that? No, go for it.
No, I wanted to ask, like, what's the process of, like, illustrating a new book?
Just, like, say it one more time.
Kara's question for Ayana was, what is the process for illustrating a new book? For those, if it didn't clip in. Thank you, producer.
So I'll start with when it's with another author, and then when it's just me doing it for myself. So when it's for another author, they'll reach out to me with their proposal. I'll accept it or I'll decline it. So if I agree to work with them, they'll send me their story and along with their illustrator notes, and you know, I'll follow their illustrator notes, or sometimes they give me full creative control, which I love. Absolutely love that. Those are like the best authors. And so I'll just do the illustration that goes along with their text. I'll send it back to them. They'll either approve it or they'll ask for revisions. I usually allow them up to 2 or 3 revisions, or it's an extra fee. We just go page by page. I go follow the illustrator notes, send it in, revisions. So it's just basically like that. And once we get to the end and I give them they give me the okay for the approval, that job is finished. When it's me for myself, I work probably backwards. I do the pictures first, and then I write the story from the pictures.
Cool. That's interesting. That's, I have a follow-up question to that. Working for yourself, working backwards, like, do you find, like, when you're writing a book, I've never written a book. Context. I don't know if you knew that, but do you find that going with I want the image first and then everything else will, like, it kind of, I kind of work like that with writing. Like, I sometimes will come up with an idea for like a really cool shot or a really cool visual, and then I have to go, all right, well, how do I make this make sense before and after? So is that kind of like what you do, or you just go, I'm gonna draw this here and then this, like, what is that specific process of, like, writing backwards?
I'm a visual learner. So if I was to write it down first, I don't think that I would be able to match the image to actually put the drawing down on paper. Mm-hmm. So for me to put the drawing down first, then I can be like, okay, I can put this into words. But if I look at the words first, I'll be like, I don't know if I can put this into an image. So for me, it's just like,
okay, yeah. Wow. Interesting. That's really cool. Thank you for that question, Kara. That was a really good question. Kara just got recently promoted to being an associate producer.
Congratulations.
On the podcast. So got to put her to work somehow. And then there's Spencer over there. What are you doing on the phone there, Spence?
I'm actually looking up how much a tube light would be for behind that shelf for the shadows of the shelf.
Oh, gotcha.
Literally.
Yeah. So
being producer.
Hell yeah. He was probably like on Tinder or something. Well, it's still loading, so it could be looking at Legos. As an artist, what do you think of our, it's still in its infancy, but what do you think of our setup?
No, I really love it because, you know, I love, this is so awesome.
Really?
Yes, I love that. Like, I would like that on a t-shirt. That's gorgeous. I really love it. I love colors. I love a lot going on. This right here is really cool.
The clams
really cool.
Or the Las Vegas thing? The owl?
Yeah.
So the owl was actually from Aaron's short film because we worked on it, and that was a prop in the short film. And the production designer was like, I don't want it. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah. I always like to take a little something from like each movie I work on. So.
And, you know, I love that. I told you that already.
Liu Kang.
And it kind of looks like he's kicking
the
legs.
Yeah, I know. That was like the vibe because sometimes you need to be kicked right in the head. In order for me to like really lock in.
Yes.
But yeah, the rest of the, I mean, when I was like, I'm just going to do this. I was like, guys, let's just bring a bunch of stuff and put it on a shelf and figure out how everything's going to flow and fit. And then I was like, but I don't want it to look like my room. And then it quite literally looks exactly like a corner of my
room.
But
that's cool because it's, you know, it's laid back. It'll make people comfortable,
yeah.
More chill. Like they're just having a conversation with
exactly.
You. Like they're sitting here with you.
Yeah. Exactly, right next to my King Kong and Godzilla, my Shrek Buddha that I just got at the horror convention, my Among Us. So, you know what Among Us is?
No.
It's like an iPhone game? Or it's a game where, like, spacemen, one person's, like, it, and they're trying to kill the other spacemen. But it's like a meme. It's like a popular meme. Anyway, I bought this while Kara and I and our friend John Glenn were working on this movie, and I would hide it on set all over the place and see like if John Glenn could find it. So shout out to John Glenn.
Did he find it?
Oh, he would find it all the time. I'd hide it in the cooler. I'd hide it like I really tried to hide it on frame to see if it would make it into the movie. I didn't give like this movie I could care less about, but I was always really afraid like what if they caught me? What if that made it in? So I didn't do it. But what's ironic is the other movie John Glenn and I worked in, he's in the background by accident. So maybe I could have done it and nobody would have noticed. But that poster actually came from Michael, our other business partner. I don't believe you met him yet. But you will. You'll see him at some point. Yeah, it was in his dorm. And I was like, we had a different poster there earlier, but this is just way cooler.
Yeah, those are like colors I'd put together. I love that.
It's so nice, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't this make you just go on a pirate ship and just start swashbuckling, you know? Just steal some spices and rum and just do some pirate shit. But thank you, yeah. Yeah.
It looks great.
Awesome. You've done many podcasts.
Yes.
I you were telling me a little bit about that. How many have you done?
A lot.
4 million?
So many. Over 50, maybe
over
close to 100.
50.
Yes. I've been actively doing them since 2020.
Damn. All right. A lot of Zoom ones?
Yes.
Have you ever done one like this setup before?
No, this is my first in-person.
Sweet. Sweet. I think you're the first, you're the second guest who's been on a podcast before. Every other person we've had on has never appeared on a podcast before, so you join a very elite club.
Oh, that's cool.
If we want to count Kara's, like, three other times, every time we try to record something like a new setup, we use Kara's, like, the test dummy.
Like, I've been on WPIX 11. I did an interview on there.
Damn. What was that all? Just, like, a story about yourself?
It was for my clothes that I design. Uh-huh. I was a features designer for Harlem Week.
Oh, sweet.
So we did a segment just basically speaking about like the activities that were going to be going on that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we showcased some of my designs.
Damn. I feel like every question you just get progressively more impressive.
Well, because I forget about some of the stuff that I've done.
But I just love how you casually you drop these things. I go, yeah, I did this thing. Like, what's next? Like, did you win an Oscar for best like actress or some shit and no. just did not tell us yet?
No.
Kara has another question.
Okay.
We gotta get you a quieter chair next time.
I think we should just have it on the rocking chair next time. Because that's a pretty quiet chair.
Yeah.
This part, but you performed at the Apollo with your dance team?
Yes.
What was it like performing in such a important, like, I would have lost my mind.
I'm gonna repeat the question so it would pick up. Kara's other question was, we're gonna have to get Spencer and you a mic, I think. Spencer wants me on the show so bad, I'm not going to let him. The question was, what was it like for Ayana performing at the iconic Apollo Theater? Ayana?
Okay, performing at the iconic Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, it was amazing. It was a little bit eerie. When I did it, my nerves didn't get the best of me because I was kind of like more worrying about like the other dancers, making sure everybody was good. I made their outfits, so I had to make sure like everybody's outfit.
Shit. You did the costumes?
Yes. So I had to make sure their costumes were good. Something interesting, the stage is very small. It looks way bigger on TV. So the stage is very small. So when we got there, I was like, they're not all even going to fit on this stage. But, we worked it out and it worked out. But it was amazing. Yeah.
That's so cool. Wow.
See what I mean? You just, again, casually drop another thing. I designed all the costumes and I danced. And it was at the iconic Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York. Losers. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's great. That's, damn. You're an impressive person, for
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
What the exact age when she was diagnosed?
Okay, so this is going to be a trick question. You guys know how old I am?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, so I'll only tell you if you can come 5 years
I'm not going to lie. Like, the whole fucking time.
Because I don't tell people my age, okay. But if you guys can come within 5 years, right. I'll tell you.
Do we all each get a guess?
Yes, you do.
Before we guess, I just got to say the whole time, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how old is she? I can't figure. Because I think you're our age probably, but
I don't know how old you guys are.
He's 23, Kara's 24, I'm 25.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume you might be older than me.
I'm older than you.
I can't believe you're... years old.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That. Yeah. Damn. But I am a millennial. I'm a proud millennial.
Okay.
And we can tell everybody that.
All right. She's in the millennial generation.
But I will tell you why I don't tell my age. I have developmental delays.
And what is
so,
it? Like, explain that if you...
It's like learning disabilities. Oh, yeah. So I've experienced like bullying because of that and online bullying. And oh, well, you're such and such age, but you act 15 and you act 12 and you have the mindset of...
How old do they act?
Saying, and it was actually a grown woman who said that to me. Yeah. So that's why I don't flat out and be like, I'm such and such age and I'm just... That's why.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck that person. Fuck all those people. I always find that like the people that take the time out of their day to comment on... So I had somebody call me fat on a YouTube video. First of all, context. The video was filmed 2 years prior to its release date, and this person called me fat. So it's like, you watched a two-hour video.
Oh, I hate people that comment on people's weights.
Well, the crazy thing was like, this is a two-hour-long wrestling show, and the only thing he took away from it was that
you were moving for 2 hours and somebody
said only in the match for like 10 minutes. But
I can't move for 10 minutes.
It's for like a full two-hour show, and then I was like, damn, I'm fat. And then I was like, wait, no, that video is like from 2 years ago also... Who the fuck is that guy? Because I'm the tag team champion.
I gained weight from, like, medications.
Not anymore, but
And somebody was like, oh, my God, you got so big, you gained so much weight. And I'm like, okay, well, I had 300 seizures and didn't die, so I'd rather be fat from medication than not alive.
Yeah. You'd be like, yeah, good luck trying to have one seizure. Yeah, pussy.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you got the whole blocking the hate out pretty much figured out. I mean, who really... It's tough. Some people, like I said, with the being strong-minded, some people, that does get to them. It does.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, like when I go on podcasts, I'm like, I'm a millennial, and that's all I tell them. Because just the negativity, it's wasted energy. And I'd rather put my energy into the things that I love, the art, the acting, the theater.
That's what I think a lot of people, that negativity... comes from a place of jealousy almost all the time.
And I feel like that's what ages people too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, if you want to look, you got to be positive.
Exactly. If you want to look, the secret to looking is to be positive.
That's right.
Amen. Hell yeah. Well, we all got some homework. We got to start being positive.
That's right.
Hell yeah. Yeah, the online negativity, bro, is like, I've talked about this with a previous guest, where it is like almost always coming from a place of like hate, obviously, but jealousy mostly overall.
And
it's like,
and then there's people like, no profile picture. Where's your profile picture? Yeah. Why are you bothering me?
There's no way you look like that, just like light blue shape of a man.
Why are you bothering me? Where's your profile picture? Yeah. What does your username mean? It's crazy.
Stupid username. My thing is like, this is fucked up, but like sometimes if somebody comments something negative and I like click on their profile and it'll be like RIP mom or RIP like grandma, I'm like, ooh, I'm about to get you, bro. Cause like, but like I've never. But no, I will. But
like people, they bring you there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't comment on people's appearance, but then you look at people and then you're like, I would never say that. But people take you there. Yeah, they bring you, they want to bring you to like the darkest place. And I'm not that type of person, but people really sometimes they want to bring you to that place. I don't go there, but people want to bring you there. Because what's going on in your life that you go on the internet and you just picking at strangers who aren't bothering you? They're just posting parts of their life that they're proud of, maybe sharing things that might bring you some joy, that might put a smile on your face, that might teach you something, and you spewing hate at them.
Yeah. Majority of the internet, especially social media, is just hatred.
Yeah.
Everything. There's not one thing. It could be like advertisements for like a brand new watch. Somebody's going to comment, it's fucking stupid. This sucks. My biggest thing was, and although I'm not sponsored by them, but Liquid Death, if you ever want to sponsor me.
That's really cool.
Kara got it for me. It's that's sick, cool. Right? It's Martha Stewart Liquid Death Collection. But
really?
Yeah, it's got two wicks, and the wrist and the can.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
You know how many people like shit on Liquid? It's literally just canned beverages. Not just canned. It's mountain water. It's very refreshing. They have different flavors. But every time I follow them on Instagram, I love their marketing. I try to like not rip it off, but... see what I did there, because of the severed hand. But like, I love the irony of like, yeah, it's like they had a an iced tea that was called like Armless Palmer, named after Arnold Palmer. Then they got sued, so they renamed it Dead Billionaire, like just to be like, fuck you. But every time they post something, people are like, I don't fucking get it. It's literally just water. You guys are so stupid. And I'm just like, you took the time out of your miserable fucking life to comment on a water can, a can of fucking water. Sponsor me, Liquid Death. It's crazy. I mean, sometimes, don't get me wrong, like you said, it brings you to that level. Like, there have been plenty of times people like come at me. There have been like there's one person who made like a whole fake account just to try to like fuck with me, and I was like,
so you made an email, you made an account, like you have no life if you did that. Yeah, people, you know, I get the autism jokes all the time. You know, people like to call you stupid and slow and retarded, and I'm just like, please don't do that, because I don't know how to stop. Like, my dad will tell everybody she's nice until she's not.
Yeah.
She's the sweetest person until she's not. She's got that squeaky, mousy voice, but she will get you. So, like, it's just
because
I don't bother nobody. Yeah. I don't bother nobody. I really don't. I stay in my art bubble. I do my art. I do my advocacy, and I mind my business. Mm. But it's always somebody who coming from out of nowhere with something crazy to say. Like, I wrote an article for The Mighty. They, you know, they publish articles about, like, health, and they have, like, an autism platform. And it was just basically about Black women being underrepresented in the autism community. So some psychotic old white guy cursed me out because he didn't like the article, and he was like, look at you Black bitch making it about Black women. You making things about yourself. I have two autistic nephews. I'm like, okay, but you just made it about yourself mentioning your nephews. So, you know, you always have somebody.
And if you read the article, jackass, it's about Black women that are underrepresented autism, not your nephews that are underrepresented autism. Go read that article.
So I'm un-fucking believable. Okay.
But like that, like, especially for that guy, if he could be completely bullshit. Again, we don't know this dude, but he has two nephews that have autism, right? But he's attacking somebody else that has autism.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Good advocacy, bro. Yeah. Good advocacy. People are fucking stupid, man.
Nice way to treat your nephews, yeah, who somebody in the same.
Yeah. But again, too, probably just comes from a place of like frustration or just, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you, but I mean, some crazy motherfuckers out there, man.
Very crazy.
It really is. Liquid Death. Sponsor me. So, back to my original question. Wow. We went on such a side path, but it flowed so well. My original question, when you were finally diagnosed, or we got to that point where you were diagnosed, what was, like, did that feel like it made sense to you, or you're just like, huh, like, how was the coping with that? Not like it's something you have to cope with, because clearly you're fucking killing it, you're doing better than all of us in this room, but.
No, you guys are, yeah. Y'all are amazing. It was, I had to process it, I had to accept it, because first when they told me, I was like, y'all don't know what y'all talking about, I'm not autistic. But then it started making sense, because it put a lot of things into perspective. I was like, okay, well, this is why you do this, this is why you do that, this is why you used to stare people right in their face and not speak when they said hello to you, this is why you only eat about five foods, this is why you have no social skills. So a lot of things started making sense to me. And you know, I learned coping skills, and I just learned to navigate life a little bit easier, because I knew what the problem was. You know, I knew it was wrong. You know, I don't think anything's wrong, but we knew it was there now, so it actually made things a lot easier I got diagnosed.
And that with the art too, especially, that was just like, oh, that clicked, because I mean, already, you know, like you were saying, some things with the communication issues, but already you're clearly communicating your most inner self through your art.
Yes.
So that is, that's always interesting. I don't have anybody in my, like, close circle that has autism or anything. So I had, like, friends in high school that did, and one of my good buddies from throughout middle school, elementary school on, and he was undiagnosed. But it always, like, kind of made sense. And then he got diagnosed around, like, I want to say, like, 10th grade-ish. And then he kind of was just like, oh, that makes sense. All right, go back to the norm. So, and that could be difficult for some people to receive this new piece of information about themselves that have been with them from the start.
Yeah, and, but, like, even, like, now talking to my dad sometimes, he's like, well, you know, it kind of makes sense why you did this now, and it kind of makes sense why you did that.
It makes you, like, would you say it kind of makes you even more, like, hyper-aware about yourself more?
Yeah, it does, and now I understand myself a little better, because I used to be like, well, why you do this? Why you don't like that? So now I understand why. I understand why now, but then I'm still like, well, damn, you still don't want to talk to people? No, I don't. I don't want to be bothered. But at least now I know why.
Hell yeah. Hey, that's me some days too, you know? Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm a star.
No pictures.
Yeah, no pictures,
no
please.
Photos, no paparazzi.
None. Nada. So let's talk about you do a lot of... is it advocacy, avocation? What is, like, the term?
Advocacy, yeah.
For autism. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit. What's, like, your, I mean, give us that
basically,
whole rundown.
So when I was diagnosed, I was in denial. I didn't speak about it for a while. I didn't tell anybody for a long time. But once I started to accept it, I noticed that there wasn't a lot of representation for Black autistic women. And I also noticed that when I got my diagnosis, we weren't really given any guidance, like what type of therapies would help me, what type of treatments would help me. So I started advocating for more visibility for Black autistic women, to gain resources, to live a better quality of life.
Yeah.
So that's when I got out there and I started telling my story, you know, guiding people in the right direction if they felt like they were autistic, steps that they should take to get diagnosed, and some of the autistic traits and some of the early signs of autism for parents that might think that their children are autistic. Because, you know, there's definitely a difference between Black children and white children. Black children are diagnosed on average 3 years later than white autistic children. So there's differences in communities, social class. So I just basically started speaking about all the different issues in the autism community to bring more awareness, to get more acceptance.
Wow. And when did you start? Like, it was like shortly after you were diagnosed, you went down that path?
It was about 4 years after.
4 years after?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, that's very admirable. Like, no joke. Thank you. Like I've said before, like, my whole knowledge on that autism and that sort of stuff is very, I don't know, not good. So, but it is always amazing to learn more. And mm-hmm. I definitely do believe, like, like what you advocate for is something that needs to be expanded upon and stretched out. Because I myself, too, I was like, oh, I didn't know most of the stuff about, you know, some of the things you were telling me. So,
yeah, like people, like even people in my family don't really, you know what autism is. And sometimes even when I told some of my friends that I was autistic, they were like, no, you're not. I'm like, I am. I'm clinically diagnosed. I am. So, you know, a lot of people didn't know what autism is. A lot of people think that only children are autistic, and they think that when you grow up, you grow out of it, but you don't. You're autistic your entire life.
Wow. Hmm. I looked at you. Had a question? Oh, okay. Wow. So do you have like advocacy? Why am I struggling with that word? Advocacy, like, platform.
Speaking of struggling with words, she knows where I'm going with that fucking measure for measure shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like Shakespeare.
I didn't like this one monologue in our scene we had to do. First, I felt some type of way because I wanted to be a mermaid and he changed our scene. But anyway.
We did. We loved the first
one. Yes. I was like the bastard child of Hades. But I was a mermaid. Okay, go ahead.
Damn. That's fucked up. You took away your mermaid. You took away your
my
tail.
Mermaid dreams.
Gone. Hey, it's never too late. Right. Maybe that could be another book.
Maybe.
I mean, it's possible. You know, why not? You just start drawing it. We'll fund it. We'll make it the Dying Industry Films Little Mermaid. Nothing to do with the Disney version at all.
Yeah, we don't want
to
get sued.
We'll follow it exactly line by line, but just change like one thing. My question was, what is it? It's advocacy. Why do I do this too with certain words? Like, it's videographer, but I keep saying videographer. And that's supposed to be my job title. So imagine how confident people are when they hire me and I say, hi, I'm the videographer. They're like, Jesus Christ. We're paying him how much? Is that just through the books? Do you have like a specific platform that you speak at, or is it through social media? I know you were invited on like a million podcasts and 2 trillion TV network things.
I speak to a lot of... lately, I've been speaking to a lot of colleges.
Okay.
But it's... like on the private side, it's not like open to the public. So I've been doing that. I use social media is my biggest platform for advocacy.
Yeah.
So I just get up and post all my shit. But lately I've been doing like a lot of work with like educators and people in the medical field, because they're trying to do better at learning from people who are actually autistic and learning from our experiences, instead of just like treating us like lab rats and observing.
Yeah.
You know, they want to speak to us. They want to learn about our experiences from us, not just you know, watch, observe, and then tell people what they came up with. They want to hear it from us. So gotcha. I've been working with I'm working on a presentation now for some educators that I'll be presenting to them in about 3 weeks.
So now, do that like the schools, do you reach out to them or they reach out to you?
They reach out to me.
Wow, that's gangster. That's pretty cool. Oh, you guys want to learn from me? Sit down. That's what's up. Oh, yeah.
It's really funny because sometimes like when I get like when they contact me or my publicist, I'm just like,
she's got a publicist. Pretty cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. Her name is Hannah.
I don't have a publicist. Fuck. Oh, that's mad cool. Hell yeah. Well, you always got our support. If you ever need a film team to make a documentary about you, we can make a documentary. Or has that already been done already?
Well, that doesn't mean it's not going to be done again.
Oh, documentary 2. Do it, yeah, you know. Spencer, say Slay. Come on, I know you want to say it. On our mixer, there's a built-in microphone for, like, whoever's recording if they need to, like, no, add that. It's so fucking loud, though. So if he does it, do you want to do it? Do it. Fuck it.
Slay.
It's not loud, obviously, but through the headphones... It's like, and the people who are going to be, when you listen to this back, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Because it records on all 8 channels.
So, it just goes,
yeah.
Like, just blast. Speaking of having a blast, I've been having a blast on this.
Me too.
You've been a great guest, way better than our last guest.
You're a great host, but that's really? Not nice. Yes.
Thank you. Am I one of the better podcast hosts?
Of course.
Are you just saying that?
No, you really are.
I can't wait. The next podcast she goes on to, she'll be like, the last guest. I mean, the last host that I was like guest
no,
on.
No, because like sometimes, like I've been on podcasts, like one of the worst podcasts I did, they sent me the questions and we literally just went down the line of the questions. And those are like, those are harder for me. It's easier, like how we're having like a conversation. Those are easier for me. I felt like I was like in school doing like a standardized test.
Yeah. I was always curious when I actually have never read this book. This is here out of complete irony. Maybe I should. But when I started the podcast, I was like, I have a whole format of questions. But then after the first one we recorded with our boy Ronnie, shout out to Ronnie, I was like, no. This has to just be like, because you can't like, unless it's for a test or some sort of assignment, whatever. See, sometimes I get in my own head. I'm like, how am I delivering these things like I did in the last episode and every episode in between? But absolutely. I feel like the best way, it is loose like a conversation because in real life, a real life podcast with no microphones, just people hanging out, you're not going to have a list of things you're going to say to like your dad when you wake up in the morning.
There was
there
was like no room to like elaborate on anything. Yeah. There was like no room to like...
Yeah, it
was just like a straight shot. So that was kind of like a difficult interview for me.
I've been interviewed like that. I was interviewed by somebody who shall remain nameless, and the questions were so like one after the other, but there was just like the way he would say them would be like, who are you?
No.
Where are you from?
Yeah, and it was just like when I was sent the questions, I thought it was just going to be like a guide.
Yeah.
I didn't know those were just going to be
line
like,
by line.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay.
All right. Other than like, I'm still learning as a host. I mean, you talk to me outside of cameras and microphones being rolling. I will spiral sometimes and I'll be like, I have to just get back to what the hell I'm talking about. Because then I become too self-aware that I'm talking. His father, Mr. Conti, has been like, good podcast host, just talks, says a question, and shuts the fuck up. So I try to do that. But then I get so excited to talk. Like, even right now, I'm mad, like, excited to just have you on and then talk about these things. What?
Just making sure you know, he hasn't actually listened to this.
Okay,
like,
all right.
He's saying that about other podcasts.
Okay.
His notes on
So he's a fake fan.
No, he hasn't actually said Mike needs to do this.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just, like, kind of a bit. Yeah. His dad. The whole Conti family. He's got, like, an army of family members. And they're all...
Well, I have a big family, so I can't talk about anyone.
All right.
My grandmother had 10 kids.
Okay.
And she had 3 sets of twins.
Wow.
And my mother was a twin, and then 2 of my aunts had twins.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do.
How many siblings
do you have? A brother and a sister.
Brother and a sister?
Yes. Right.
I got one brother. He sucks. He's all right. He just became a father recently, so he's like full-blown dadding it. What do your siblings do? Are they phenomenal too? Or are they?
Yeah, they are.
All right, okay.
They just do their own things. This is about me today. Don't
this is about them. This is about Ayana. I'm sorry I asked that. I'm just slowly be sliding down the list of podcast hosts of podcasts you've appeared on. But you know what? There's only one podcast that has a built-in game show. Probably not. But
okay.
Ours does. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. You know what it's time for? It's time for Ballin' at What Cost.
Y'all making me nervous. Okay.
That's all right. No, well, when this comes out, you'll know why. So here's how Ballin' at What Cost works. I'm going to list 3 items.
Okay.
And all you have to do is list them from least expensive to most expensive.
Okay.
We're not going to tell you the number, just like you wouldn't tell us how old you are because you're years old. So our items are Prisma Color pencils. It's 150 count in the tin. We'll add the picture and post. My favorite children's book ever. If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, hardcover edition. Are you familiar?
Nope, but I'm listening.
You've never read If You Give a Mouse a Cookie? Yo. Wow. We got to get you on that book. Stat. And what's the third item?
Prada glasses, 52 millimeter in green.
Kara picked that one.
All right,
so we got the Prada glasses, a hardcover of If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and the 150 count of the colored pencils.
Well, you know, those colored pencils is expensive, they but sure are. So we know the glasses are the most expensive. But that hardcover book, depending on what year it came out, and if it's a collector's edition, that might be more expensive than the expensive-ass Prismacolor.
I believe it's a standard edition.
Oh, okay. So color, I would say that's the least expensive, and then the colored pencils, and then the glasses.
Is that your final answer?
Those are my final answers.
Confidence. Spencer?
You're 100% right.
100% really? Right. Absolutely. All right. Three across the board. If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, hardcover, $10.85. And then the colored pencils were $180.
Yeah, I know. You know how I know those were expensive? Because I got the markers, and them shits is expensive.
How much are the markers?
The markers were about $225 for 125.
Jesus, fuck.
125 pieces.
God damn. Well, I guess you use it.
Yeah, I use them.
So. Yeah, that's something I would buy. Like, I'm totally going to lock in.
Like, when you first said Prismacolor, I'm like, are they asking me this because I'm an artist?
Yeah, we try to keep it curated to the guests, but... I don't know. Like, sometimes I just want to throw a wrench in there and be like,
guess you know what's funny about those sunglasses? When I was about 8 years old, my dad bought me, like, a pair of, like, $200 sunglasses because he couldn't tell me no. And I was like, I was eight. Why didn't you put those shits back? He was like, because we don't live in lack. I was like, I would have said no, put those back and got some $10 glasses and kept it moving.
Would have got them Fashion Nova glasses for free shipping.
Plus oh, they harass you so much. Don't they harass you? If you like, this is gonna, your item's gonna sell out. Here's an extra 10% off.
You'll unsubscribe, and then you want to go shop again, and you sign back up, and you repeat.
And then they start harassing. I had to mute them.
Mm-hmm. You had to block them. On that. All right. Well, Ayana, congratulations for winning Ball on at What Cost. On to the next segment.
Let me not get too happy because I'm about to start losing.
No, it's all good. It's all good. As the host of Ball and What Cost, that was like another project that we were doing that fell off because, like most things, if you ever decide to get into film and television, really strongly reconsider it. No, I'm just kidding. Scheduling things, getting everybody together is always very difficult and something Spencer and I became very aware of, and Michael and Miles as well.
Well, I know, like, it is hard,
it's hard to get people together.
Yeah, because I was writing a short film about a little girl with autism, and it was just, like, so hard to get people to commit, and I was just like, fuck all of you. No.
It makes you want to scream. It does. It's just like, what do you... It's like, come on, just do this one thing. Because I'm the type of person, like, if you need me to do something, unless you're Spencer, if you need me to do something, unless you're Robert, Spencer's brother, if you need me to do something... Like, if you're Stephen Conti or Sophia Conti, I'm there. Anyway, closing this one out, what do you got coming up next? What's the next thing on the creative horizon for you?
Well, I will be doing a TED Talk, so I'm preparing for that.
Dude. Hold on. A what?
A TED Talk, you know? Thank you for coming to my
TED
Talk.
No, I know. I know exactly what it is. You're just casually dropping bombs. You did a TED Talk.
No, I'm preparing.
Preparing to do a TED Talk. Sorry, preparing to do a TED Talk.
Yeah, it's not going to be for a couple of months.
Okay.
But I'm preparing to do that. As I said, I'm preparing to do two more books with two separate authors. And I'm trying to release at least five more books that I'm writing myself and, of course, illustrating myself. And I'm going to be back in class with you guys. So.
And you get to hang out with us. Yeah. In order from most important, obviously, being hanging out with us. And then the TED Talk is like, now that's amazing. Holy. Where's, you got to, if it's local or around the area, you got to, I want to go to the TED Talk. I've never
been. Of course. I'll keep you guys updated.
I'll be like, yeah. Can we bring signs like it's a baseball game? Just have pictures of you. That'd be so funny. Imagine just like pre-gaming, like it's a football game to a TED Talk, wearing a football jersey. That'd be so funny. One last question for you, and then we'll close this bad boy out. Any advice for those who may be dealing with autism, maybe recently diagnosed or long-term diagnosed, especially as a black woman with autism? Anything you would say to somebody that might be similar to you listening to this that needs to hear it to keep going, to keep doing what they got to do?
I would definitely just say to be 100% yourself. Try to find your community. I didn't know anyone who was a black autistic woman until I got on TikTok. Sometimes you have to go online and find your community. Don't put limits on yourself, and definitely don't let anybody else put limits on yourself. If you have a dream to do something, go for it.
It's people like you are the reason why I started this podcast. No fucking joke. All right, there's one last thing to do. I mentioned this earlier. All the guests on this podcast do have a chance to walk away with something cool or something smart financially. So, Ayana, you can have $10 or what's in the mystery box.
Those question marks are really cool. I'm going to go with the mystery box.
Going with the mystery box? Producer, you put the mystery box item in here. I actually don't know what's in this week. I'm not even kidding. Oh, sounds like I might have broke it. Here you go. You may take that and open it. Me reusing a Martha Stewart liquid death box.
Martha Stewart? Remember she was in jail?
Yeah. What is it? What is it?
I don't know.
Those are Spencer's car. You get Spencer's car.
Spencer's car.
What year do you get the rights to own Spencer's car? You get.
I'm not really sure what this means because I don't know how to drive.
Oh, you don't know how to drive? You can sell it. You can get like $30 for it probably on the car market. It's a 2017 Chevy Sonic. Trust me, you don't need a license to drive it. It's basically a golf cart with doors. It's yours. Spencer's giving away his car. You can't go over 55 because it will overheat. But it's got like really good space for stuff, man. It's like you can like watch the stars through the trunk. That's what Spencer would probably say.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a car now.
Okay.
All right, Ayana. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a phenomenal episode, I think.
Thank you so much. I had a great time.
And anybody that wants to reach out to you on your platforms, go ahead. Free plug. Free advertisement.
Yes, I'm Phenomenally Autistic across all social media.
Instagram, TikTok. Are you on X
YouTube,
as well?
YouTube. Yes, I'm on X. Okay. It sucks now, though, but I'm there.
All right. She's there. So go find her for anybody that's out there that wants to hang out with this really cool person, this phenomenal person. I'm jealous. Because I want to do a TED Talk. I don't know about what, but I'm sure I'll figure it out if I ever get invited to do one. Ayana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on here. Good luck with Spencer's car. We'll teach you how to drive. It's no big deal. And thank you to Spencer and Kara for being my producing team. I'm Mike, as always. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think about this episode. Let us know what you think about this studio and what we can do to make some changes and some improvements. Besides you, Miles, if you're listening, don't want to hear it. I'm just kidding. I want to hear it. I really do. I'm just kidding. No, I don't. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Just a quick thought. Do you want to ask and try to make it sound in